Memorial Day weekend. This is also graduation weekend. We've got lots of graduations going on. KDISD has all seven of their graduations down. Five are down. We got Tompkins and Seven Lakes rounds it up in the evening. We have colleges who have been graduating. And so this is a graduation weekend. That's right. We got our caps and our gowns and we're ready to go. And I was at a high school graduation just 2 days ago, and I heard speeches from the salutatorian, the valedictorian, the class president, the school principal, and they were giving out wise advice. I remember one phrase from the salutatorian, and she told us, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and give you wise words of advice. I'm only 17 years old. Maybe when I'm 60, I'll come back and I'll be rich and famous, and then I'll have something to say. And, you know, she was pretty successful, salutatorian, and good chance that she might be rich and famous one day, and we might listen to her. But isn't that something that we all kind of want in our own hearts? We want to know how to succeed in life. We want to know how to get the most out of life. And maybe you're in here this morning and you are a student. We have many students, and you're wondering, what is that next accomplishment, that next goal, that next rung on the ladder that I want to climb? Maybe you've just started your family and you've been working maybe not too long, maybe 5 or 10 years or so, and you're trying to figure out what this all of life is about as I try to work my job and tend to my family and be a part of church. You're trying to figure out what is it all about? Or maybe you're in the final half or the final quarter of the race of life, and you're looking back and you're looking ahead and you're wondering, how can I finish this last lap with zest, with meaning, with purpose? Well, we are going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And thankfully, we don't have to go to the Merrill Center this afternoon or this evening to find out wise words of advice on how to put in the most to life so that we can get the most out of it. We right here have inspired words from one of the most successful, one of the wisest men of all history in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so this morning, as we continue on this exploration of how can we really make our mark in life. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to be going through the whole chapter. And as we look at it this morning, we're going to look at confessions. We're going to look at three confessions. And then we'll also look at one celebration. Okay, so Ecclesiastes, that's right in the middle of the Bible, a little bit to the right. And so let's pick up in chapter 2. How can we get the most out of life? And we pick up in chapter 2. And last week, as Eddie mentioned, we did start and we looked at chapter 1. And the main word in chapter 1 was this word vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so we said that this word is the Hebrew word. Do we have the PowerPoint? Oh, here we go. There we go. Let's see here. That's Ecclesiastes 1. We want to do Ecclesiastes 2. Do we have Ecclesiastes 2? Anyway. So we looked at this word. It was the Hebrew word. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Can we go back a little bit? Back one slide. No? Okay. Hang on. We're having a little technical difficulties, but that's all right. Okay. This word was hevel. It meant vapor or mist. And it's translated often as vain, as meaningless, as enigmatic, as even absurd. And he covers all of chapter 1 saying all of life is vain. And then he focuses specifically on wisdom, saying that wisdom is vain. But then we're going to focus a little bit more. Okay, thank you. Next, let's see. Yeah. We're gonna. My battery's a little. I might need you to help me advance here. Thank you. Only in this world. And then also, because of our world is fallen, and specifically because we encounter death, then all of life is this situation of hevel. All right? But then we move into chapter 2, verse 1. And next slide, please. He says, in my heart. So Solomon is going to start doing some self-talk as he's coming off of chapter 1. He's going to keep going. And he says, in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Okay? And so he's going to do an experiment. And the literal word here for enjoy yourself is see that this is good. See that this is good. So we're going to do an experiment. But even before he gives us the details of this experiment that he's going to do, he tells us what he's found out. And he tells us at the end of verse 1, but behold, this also was hevel. Okay, vanity. And then more generally in verse 2, he says, okay, laughter, it's mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? So these are general statements, this experiment that he's going on. And then in verse 3, he starts with something specific. He says, I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. And he's going to have some controlled drinking. My heart still guiding me with wisdom. But I think he's also going to do some uncontrolled drinking. I think that's what the next phrase is saying. And how to lay hold on folly. And Solomon recognizes that he only has so much in this life. So he's going to try to experiment. Till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. So he starts on an experiment, and he starts specifically, he's going to try to indulge in some pleasures. And so he's going to start with alcohol, okay? Some wine, and don't worry, this is actually sparkling apple cider, okay? But it wouldn't be too bad if it was true alcohol. I think that, you know, we can have alcohol in the Lord's Supper, but we're not going to try to push that through the deacon board at this time, okay? So we're going to start with wine. And he moves on, and in verse 4, next slide, please. He says, we're going to go on a building spree. We're going to go on a building spree, okay? So, I made great works, and I built houses and vineyards for myself. Okay, look at that word, myself. That's repeated, I think, 5 times in these 4 verses. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. So Solomon is going on a building spree, and he's amassing. I mean, he's the real estate mogul. Okay, and he's got houses. He's got apartments. He's Monopoly. Okay, he is Monopoly. He's got Boardwalk, Park Place, and all of that. But then he says, well, maybe that's where it's all at. But then he says, okay, maybe it's something horticultural. Next slide, please. So he says, yeah, I'm gonna be a gardener. I'm gonna build all these fruit trees. This is what I'm gonna be about. Okay, next slide, please. And then he says, I made myself pools to water all of these trees. And then he says, well, maybe it's if I, you know, I just sit back and I get people to serve me. Maybe that's what it's all about. And so he says, I bought male and female slaves. In fact, I even had slaves who were born in my own house. I had great possessions. I mean, maybe, you know, it's the Mustang. If I get enough Mustangs, if I get enough Ferraris, you know, then isn't that kind of like some kind of an animal, the Ferrari? But maybe if I amass all of these animals and these modes of transportation, you know, maybe if my sheep have a GPS system in it, who can, or the horses can kind of guide me around Jerusalem. Maybe that's what it's all about. And I had more of these than any before me in Jerusalem. And he says, you know, and I amassed all this silver and gold. I mean, you know, I got the Houston Astros World Series diamond ring. My son found the World Houston Astros World Series diamond ring in my little drawer just yesterday. I had to tell him that it was fake, you know, that those weren't real diamonds, that a friend here in the congregation gave me that world. But Solomon, he had all those rings, okay? Gold and silver. He said, maybe that's where it's at. And treasure of kings and provinces. This is probably from tribute, right? From other nations, provinces. It's probably taxation. I mean, he's just gathering it all in. And furthermore, I mean, I got Justin Bieber and a Taylor Swift, you know. I mean, I had to Google that, you know, who are the most popular singers today. Don't think that, you know, Pastor Way is really up and cool. I mean, I got KB. You guys know who KB is? He's like a Christian rap singer, right? KB, not KD, right? Not KD, KB. I mean, I got Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift and Rihanna right here in my own court. Is that how you say that? You know, Beyonce. I mean, you know, they're right here, and I can just Spotify right in a minute, Spotify, and boom, out comes the entertainment. I mean, I got it. This is where it's at. And lastly, I got many concubines. Okay, we're not going to elaborate too much on that, but sensual pleasure, the delights of the sons of man. I mean, this is where it's at. You know, I'm experimenting. But what does he say? So I became great. I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. And again, a lot of this was controlled indulgence, controlled indulgence. He kept some wisdom with him. But sometimes he just went berserk, I think. Okay. Verse 10. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was reward for all my toil. But then he reflects on it in verse 11 and he says, I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was hevel and a striving after the wind. I forgot my dry ice again and my matches. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. And so, friends, Solomon experimented with self-indulgence, with pleasure. And what was his conclusion? What was his conclusion? Next slide, please. Self-indulgence was vain. If we're just seeking to be Epicurean, hedonistic, and just indulge in all of these pleasures, all for our own sakes, it's hevel. It's vain. And so, friends, how can you, as you go and hear all these wonderful speeches this afternoon about how to get the most out of life, how can we truly get the most out of life? The first thing we have to acknowledge as we look at Ecclesiastes 2 is confess that self-indulgence is hevel, is vain. But let's move on. Next slide, please. Verse 12. So I'm going to look at wisdom. Verse 12, I turn to consider wisdom, but also non-wisdom, madness and folly, how to live my life. For what can the man do who comes after the king? There's some confusion on how to interpret this, but I do think it's, well, if the king can't be satisfied with indulging himself, then who can? So let's look at wisdom. Only what has already been done. And then now, verse 13, he does gain some consolation about wisdom. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. So there is an acknowledgement that it is better to live a wise life than a foolish life. But he quickly gives the other side of the story. Verse 14b. And yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. What is that? What is that event? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 15. Then I said, he's self-talking again. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? It's not going to change the final result, the final outcome. And I said in my heart, this also is what? Hevel, right? For verse 16, for of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have long been forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. He's talking about death. OK. So let's just use two examples in here, and we won't name the person specifically, but let's just say person S is, you know, lives the life of the fool, and person N lives the life of the wise person. Now, person N, he's doing wise stuff. He brushes his teeth. He takes a shower. He's on time to school, on time to class. He exercises, eats three meals a day, and he gets 8 hours of sleep at night. Now, Solomon does say that that is better than person S. Now, person S, just, you know, always late to work, always tardy to class, doesn't brush his teeth, doesn't take a shower, starts studying for the test at the last minute. He stays up till 2 a.m. in the morning, right? And, you know, he might even be going to prison. You might be able to visit him in prison. You know, maybe he's going to... But Solomon says, no, it is better to be like person N, you know, who's living a wise life. And we're not going to say, you know, what these initials represent. But Solomon says, but you know what? The final result don't change, because it doesn't matter if you live 30 years or if you live 80 years, you're both going to die and no one going to remember person N or person S. So what does he say? Verse 17, I hated my life. I hated life. And because what was done under the sun was grievous to me. The word actually here is evil. This was evil. This is a moral outrage that there's no better equity in this, that it doesn't change the final result. For all is hevel and just striving after the wind. So, friends, it is better to brush your teeth and take showers and live a wise life and all that. But getting the most out of life, we must know that the second confession is confess, as we get more specific this week, that confess that worldly wisdom also is vain because it can't change the final result. All right, but moving on to the third confession, verse 18. Not only do I hate my life, but I hate my toil, in which I toil under the sun. And why is that? He's going to give a couple of reasons. The first, because I have to leave it to the man who will come after me. And I don't know if this person is going to use the money that I leave to him wisely or foolishly. All I know is that he's going to have control over it. That's what he says. Verse 19, who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? But we do know this, he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. And he's going to repeat this three times in this section here about toil. This also is hevel. So I turned about and I was anxious about this. I gave up my heart to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because I have to leave it to someone else and I can't take it with me. And I don't know if that person is going to use this wealth wisely or foolishly. But also, he says, verse 21, sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not even work for it. This is hevel and a great evil. Is that it's almost moral outrage. And so, next slide, please. You know, my mom was a great mom, and she worked hard. She was the first Chinese American to graduate from one of the higher institutes of learning here in the Houston area. She went off and started teaching for several years. But funny thing, after teaching with a degree from a university, she went back to the store. She went back to we're Cantonese, we're Toisan, we've been here several generations. We had a store near the University of Houston. And she worked in that store for 30, 40 years, from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, 30, to 40 years. She saved, she worked, she toiled, she invested in the stock market. And she was a hard worker. And she even worked on Sundays. I disagreed with it as I was growing up as a child. I didn't want her to work on Sundays. But she worked 7 days a week. She toiled and labored and saved. And she just went to be with the Lord on Thanksgiving. But she has left it to these guys. This is her children. I'm one of them. When we were graduating from high school or college, okay, who knows if I'm gonna use it wisely? My sister's gonna use, maybe we're gonna indulge, and we can do that. No guarantee, and we didn't work for it. We didn't put any hour. I used to stack groceries at the store, you know, maybe once or twice a year. We didn't work for it. And it's all coming to us. How this there's a certain vanity about that. All right, next slide, please. So this is vanity and a great evil. So friends, how can we get the most out of life? Next slide, please. Confess also that worldly toil is in vain. Let me see. Can we go back one slide? Yeah. Because, the next one, please. Verse 22. Because what has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun for all his days? This same pair of words was used in chapter 1, verse 18, where they talked about having more knowledge and having more wisdom. It brings on sorrow and vexation, the more knowledge and wisdom you have here. Here he's saying his days because of toil are full of sorrow and his work is a vexation. And in fact, even in the night, he can't fall asleep. He's thinking about his work. He's thinking about that paper. He's thinking about the ministry. And he doesn't rest. This also is vanity. So friends, next slide. Next slide, please. Confess worldly toil is vain. How can we get the most of life? We have three confessions. Self-indulgence, worldly wisdom, and worldly toil. All are hevel. Now, we need some positive words. Don't we need a few? We're kind of pessimistic right now, right? So let's look at verse 24. We're going to give us a little something here. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find pleasure or find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, or perhaps to the one who has offended, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. And I think Solomon is mainly pointing to that last phrase, that is hevel. That fool who is gathering riches, but it will go to someone else, to the one who pleases God. I think that's what he's saying, is that is what is vain. But as we seek to get the most out of life, we need to confess those items as vain. But we can also, as we recognize that all good things are from the hand of God, we can give thanks to God for them. And we can enjoy God's goodness. We can celebrate God's goodness. Let's go to the next slide there. So friends, yes, we're in a fallen world, and we're headed downhill. However, along the way, as we acknowledge that there is a God who is outside of this world, and that there is an eternity outside of this life, then we can give thanks to Him and enjoy and celebrate His goodness. So friends, as you go, as some of you go to some graduation ceremonies later today, and you might hear all these, you might hear all this fanfare, you do think through your mind as all of these awards and accolades are being passed out. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You do think that. Without God. Without God, it's all this pageantry. And I was a little disappointed. I mean, what do you expect? KDISD, are they going to acknowledge God? You know, that we had a moment of silence. That was good. But it still didn't quite hit me, right? That it wasn't there. But so you do think, you know what? If people, they're just only living for this world alone. Vanity of vanity, all is vanities. However, for the person who does recognize that there is a God and that all good things come from His hand, we can, as we our work heartily as unto Him, we can celebrate His goodness. Next slide, please. So, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So if you were studying, if you were working as unto the Lord and knowing that it's from the Lord where you were looking for reward, then we can know that our labor has not been in vain. Next slide, please. And in fact, the New Testament does affirm giving thanks to God, recognizing God as our creator. Look at those last two verses in 1 Timothy 4, 3-4. There's some people who forbid marriage, require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth, for everything created by God is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So God brings meaning and purpose to all that we are about. So when you go to that graduation ceremony later this afternoon, yeah, you think vanity of vanities, all is vanities. Or when you hit work the next morning, you say, yes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity without God. But with God, we can give thanks. For the labor, because it was done unto Him, for those AP exams, for putting in those long, hard work hours in consulting the company. Yes, as it was done unto the Lord, we can give thanks to Him. And in fact, we can enjoy the fruits of His labor through just celebrating through a little graduation meal, you know, and giving thanks to God. Next slide, please. Yeah. After the graduation, we can go after you've completed the project that you've done unto the Lord, you can go out and give thanks. All right. So, okay. Oh, thank you. That's okay. So, friends, how do we get the most out of life? Well, we have three confessions. Confess that self-indulgence is vain. Confess that worldly wisdom is vain. Confess that worldly toil is in vain. But as we recognize all things from the hand of God, we can celebrate God's goodness. Okay? So go ahead and, enjoy the fruits of your labor. Now, back to the last, to the slide before, please. Now, with Grandpa, with the slide with Grandpa there. Thank you. So, praise the Lord, Grandpa came to the graduation ceremony. It was a little bit of a challenge getting him there. You know, he's pushing 90, 89 years. I think he was probably the oldest person in the Merrill Center. I can't be for sure, but you know how we always like to get the, you know, we just had Mother's Day, oldest mom stand up, the mom with the most children stand up, most recent mom stand up. We should have had Foon stand up two Sundays ago, you know, newest mom, all that. I think if we had someone to stand up in the Merrill Center, oldest person in here, maybe it was my dad. I don't know. I think it was great. It was great to have him there. But, you know, I love hanging out with my dad. He's 89 years old. Because you know what, guys? You can learn a lot from the elderly. And they just have a perspective on life. It's worthy just to sit and listen. And I know, I think Grandpa tried to give out a little words of advice to Nathaniel a time or two, right? On the car ride or something. But, you know, I think my dad, he would affirm he had property all throughout his life. He had property in China. He's had property in America. But I think he would affirm that self-indulgence is not where it's at. And I think he would tell you, yeah, it's better not to smoke. It's better to eat right, not to eat greasy char siu bao and dim sum, you know. But hey, I've been doing it all my life, and I don't know. I'm still moving. And but he would also say that. But you know what? No matter how smart you live your life, you can't fix the problem of death. In fact, my dad, he's very cavalier. He just loves saying stuff like, "When you die, you die. When you die, you die. I'm not gonna be here for much longer." He knows he can't, the worldly wisdom can't fix death. And he would affirm that toil is good, but he knows that, hey, look, he's all his toil that he did for his whole life, he can't take it with him. He knows that it's going to be passed on to us, to someone else. And he's probably going to, I mean, I don't know, but he's probably going to die with a lot more money than he could have spent with his whole life. But I long for him. I'm not sure where he's at spiritually. I long for him to really, really embrace God and to say, you know what? I may only have years left. I may only have months left. I may only have days left of this life here on earth, but for whatever I have left, I want to live it for Jesus. And everything I do from here on out, I want to do it for Jesus. Well, friends, don't figure that out when you're 89 years old. Figure that out right now. When you're 12, when you're 13, when you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, for whatever you have left to get the most out of life, confess it's not in self-indulgence, worldly wisdom, toil. It's in Jesus, and celebrate His goodness. Lord, praise You for Your word. Thank You for the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, of Kohelet. Lord, make it so in our lives. We want to maximize Your glory in our lives. Help us to spend, to invest our lives for true significance, things that will truly last. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.